Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Last shift, it was early in the morning. I say early in the morning, we get there at 7, so it was probably about 8 o'clock. We get called out for a refrigerator on the back porch that's on fire. So we made our plans. You know, this is the far end of our district, so it had plenty of time to burn. So we get there and around the backyard, and this guy's got this outside cabinet with storage space underneath it, and it had burned. He was standing out there with his garden hose, you know, he'd put it out, but it had definitely burnt the inside of the thing pretty good. So what happened? Well, he said, last night I unplugged my refrigerator because it was going to get cold, and there was no reason to have the refrigerator. It's cold, right? So I just unplugged it. Okay. Well, there isn't anything else in this cabinet that could burn. The electricity had been turned off. He said, I think that, and he had some charcoal in this one storage area that had burned. He said, I think what happened is that refrigerator got hot enough during the day, and it maintained the heat, caught the charcoal on fire, and it kind of smoldered and kept his on fire. Okay. Well, you know, we're still scratching our heads because this just, to us, it just isn't making good sense. But he was pretty adamant. That's it. This is all there was in there. Okay. So we called fire marshal because, you know, it was a fire. They come out and they investigated. But the bottom of this cabinet, the bottom of it had a hole. It had been burnt through. And typically, if there's a fire on the floor, that's where the fire started. Because, you know, fire burns up. So if there's a hole burning it, you can target that. So, fire marshal says, what happened? We're all standing there, you know. We've been grilling all day long. So it come time, and I turned the refrigerator off because it didn't need to be running anymore. So I took the hot ashes, or I took the ashes from my grill, put them in this plastic container, and then I put that plastic container inside this cabinet, and I put my charcoal bag on top of it. We're all looking at each other like, dude, and these are rich people too, so money can't buy you common sense, I can tell you that. And we get back in the engine and we're laughing about it. We're laughing because one, he didn't let on to us what was going on, and then two, it's like, this is job security. We're, you know, fire department's not going anywhere as long as we have people like that living in South Lake. First off, to put it in a plastic container. And why not just leave it in there, right? I mean, I got good sense just to leave it in there until the next day or two. And then dump it out in the grass or something. I'll put it in a plastic container. Anyway, I digress. I try to think about when I'm talking, I try to think about stupid stuff that we get to see during the week. And that was probably the week's topper or the month's topper for us. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about heart blocks. And you guys probably know more about this, but Brother Ray can teach me a good class on heart blocks. But heart blocks, the heart is a unique organ in the body. First off, it's just a muscle. It's really all it is. And it has its own electrical conduction system in it. So in spite of what the head tells it to do, if it's still got electricity, it's still going to do its thing. It may not pump. And there's a thing called PEA where it's pulseless electrical activity. The electricity's firing, but the muscle's not moving. So you put them on the monitor, and there's a good heart rhythm. You think, okay, check a pulse, no pulse, because it's not pumping. And they're dying. They're actually dead is what happens. They're just dead. They just don't know it yet. So there's things we can do. Give them some fluids and stuff to kind of help solve those issues. Do CPR, obviously. But the heart is that. It has an electrical system, and just to give you a little background, at the very top of the heart, because we had a whole semester on cardiology when I was in paramedic school, and paramedicine just scratches the surface of cardiology stuff, right? All we're looking at is what we can see in the field, what we can diagnose and treat in the field. You go to the hospital, now you're getting really in-depth stuff. But at the top of the heart, there's a thing called the SA node, and what it does is it's the pacemaker of the heart. what it does is it sends a signal from the top of the heart to the bottom of the heart to push the blood. Well, there's a natural delay in there, and it's just milliseconds of time. It's not an extended period of time that it sends that signal, but it sends a signal. It gives the time for the top of the heart to push the blood in the bottom of the heart. Then once the bottom of the heart gets full of blood, that signal is received, the bottom of the heart pushes and sends it out to your body. That's it. So it starts at the top, goes down, and back up. And then it just repolarizes itself and starts all over. And it does this every time you feel your pulse. So think about it, you know, if you're running or you're doing something that's really fast and moving around, you know, your heart rate's over 100. It's doing that continually. This morning I was at the doctor and it was 55. So it's like, okay, well, it's doing this type of thing. But anyway, there's things they call heart blocks that will slow that conductivity down. Where it should take, I'm just going to throw a number at you. So it'd take 1 second for it to go from here to here. It may take 2 seconds. It may take 3 seconds. That's a heart block. Something is preventing that signal from getting from the top to the bottom. Some stuff is congenital. Some stuff is stuff that we do ourselves. Medications can cause this. Poor diet can cause this stuff. But it's just a slow conductivity. So that's what I want to talk about, heart blocks. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew my steadfast spirit within me." And as I said, a heart block is a problem with the flow of electrical signal in your heart. Now, these heart blocks can range from what they call a first-degree heart block, which is just a slowing. You know, instead of taking 1 second, it takes 3 seconds. And then it progresses into a second-degree heart block where it takes a little bit longer. Now that pulse or that impulse is taking longer to get there. Well, the bottom of the heart is like, hey, if you're not gonna charge me, I'm going to charge myself. So then it charges, and it'll fire. And that's kind of a backwards thing. It's not supposed to work like that. But the second-degree heart block's a little bit worse, a little bit delayed, more of this, less of that. And then you progress into what they call a third-degree heart block, so a complete heart block. And that's where the top of the heart is like, bottom of the heart's, I don't care what you're doing up on top, I'm going to do what I want to do on the bottom. So there's a disassociation between the top and the bottom. Both of them are doing their own thing. And left untreated, this is fatal. This can actually kill you. And over time, a first degree will usually turn into a second degree. If left untreated, then the disease progresses. And the next thing you know, the heart is just not doing its own thing. Well, I believe that we can have the same spiritual blockers in our heart. Spiritual heart blockers in our lives as well. I got to hurry because Pastor Steve told me to hurry. So we can have spiritual heart blocks as well. So what are the things that would slow down or prevent the blockage or start blockage in our spiritual life? And I just came up with some. It doesn't mean that this is an all-inclusive list, but it's a pretty good little list is what I think. First thing that we can have that blocks us is stop giving to God. Malachi 3:8-10 says this, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in the house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room, or room enough to store it." So the first thing we can do to stop the blessings of God or stop us from hearing from God is to rob God of our resources. We know that in this Malachi, he's talking about our money. And it's, you know, this is kind of preacher to the choir here. We all know that the tithe is God's. I've always been a good believer that it's more than just our monetary tithes that God wants. God wants our times and talents as well. He gives us time and talents to do not only the work of ourselves, but the work of the Lord as well. So when we don't do that, we don't use what God has given us, then we're actually robbing God of the talents that He's given us. So one of the first things that we can do, or one way we can block blessings from heaven, is to rob God of what is His. Another one is stop forgiving others. This is a pretty easy one. We all know this one. In Matthew 6, 14 and 15, there's more to that, but I just consolidated it down to 14 and 15. If you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Here's the blocker. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. If you want to block the blessings of God, stop forgiving others. That's a challenge, isn't it? And I've also thought, the hardest part for me is to forgive myself sometimes. And how can I say, God, forgive me of this, when I can't even forgive myself? He's a merciful God, and He can do anything. Believe He forgives us of our sin. But if I can't forgive myself, do I have the faith to believe that He can forgive others? When I don't even have the faith to believe He can forgive myself. So if you want to block God's blessings in your life, quit forgiving other people the stuff they do. You know, there's such a wide range of things. You know, we hear stories in the news where people have killed family members. There's been a tragedy that someone else has taken another person's life. I can't think of anything worse than that. And it's so sad when you hear them say, I'll never forgive them for that. Man, you just don't realize the word you're speaking out there and the ramifications of what you're saying in eternity. If I can't forgive them of that, then God can't forgive me. You're blocking. And you know, most of us in here haven't experienced that. Most of us haven't experienced that. But what about when somebody, they don't do what you think they ought to do, or oh man, they don't help us clean up at church, or they didn't bring breakfast this morning, you know? Stupid stuff. I can't, you know, that's just horrible. I can't believe they did that. I think there's a time when we need to forgive people for little bitty things that are insignificant in the big scheme of things. Sometimes those are kind of hard. They hurt our feelings. Oh, man, you said that? You didn't say hi to me? We didn't give Brother Jason a hug this morning? What? You know? Oh, He's got to forgive us for that. Yes, you do. So forgiveness ranges from the big things all the way down to those things that just petty. Exactly right. We have to get over it. We have to get over ourselves and forgive people for things like that. Because if we can't, it's not Brian Thomas that's saying it. It's the Lord that's telling us that, hey, if you can't forgive, I can't forgive you. So if we want to block ourselves from the Lord's blessings, don't forgive. What about fear? Receiving God's fullness can be blocked by the spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, did He? That's right. That's what He gave us. So, but sometimes fear can hold us back. Fear can hold us back from believing God. Fear can hold us back from doing things for God. Fear is one of those, what do you mean you want me to go say this to somebody? What do they think about me? I'm scared of that. I'm scared of what people will think, what people will say. If God's telling you to do it, it doesn't matter what other people say or think, right? It's what God told you to do. And if you fear, then that fear will hinder you from even doing anything. And we all know, as adults in life, fear can be paralyzed. Just in life. It doesn't have to have a spiritual aspect of it. But fear can paralyze people. That keep you from doing what you need to do, even saving your own life sometimes. You know, that's one of the things that they tell us in the training, that you you know, hey, when it's going bad and it's hot and you don't feel good, you know, you just need to quit thinking and rely on your training and do what you need to do. And do, put out the fire, you know, because we've got some guys, well, I'll say guys, we've got one lieutenant, he's scared of fire. He won't admit it, you know, he's scared of it. And it's not one of those, just a couple of people know about it. Really, it's known throughout the department. If you go into a fire with this guy, then you're going to be okay. Because you ain't going in. You know? He'll go around the side of break glass, or he'll find something else to do. Keep him going actually into the building. Whereas one day, KJ, he was my lieutenant at the time, and I was a firefighter. He said, I looked up, and all I could see was you dragging the hose into the burning building, and then I lost you. I said, well, you knew where I was at, right? He goes, yeah, at the end of that nozzle. I said, I'll go in there to put the fire out. You know, sometimes, you know, fear will keep us from doing things. But when we know what we need to do, and we've had the training in it, then we can just go on in there, put the thing out. You know, don't be scared of it. And that's going to lead us to another point here in just a second. Another one is unhealthy relationships. Unhealthy relationships can block us from receiving what God has to do for us. And it's, you know, unhealthy relationships with the world, hanging out with ungodly people, because that's all you're going to hear is ungodliness and ugly stuff. But I think you can also say this can come down into the church. We were talking about this just a little bit. There's a fellow that used to come to church here and, hey, how you doing this morning? Oh, man, I had a bad week. Okay, next week, oh, man, this happened to me. Next week, oh, man, I was telling Sam that every time I say good morning, it's like, oh, man, this is horrible. So hanging out with the wrong people can drag you down. This might be a good indicator. Nobody's hanging out with you. You might want to think, what am I doing? Okay? Because we all know we don't want to hang out with people that are negative. Negative Nancys. I don't think there's Nancys in here. But the negative Nancys. You know? People don't want to hang out with those kind of people. So if people's not hanging out with you, you might want to question why. First thing is take a bath. Make sure you don't stink. And then you might want to think, okay. Is my attitude right? But unhealthy relationships can be a blocker. The spiritual fear also goes into the doubt and unbelief. This is another blocker. Doubt and unbelief. What do you mean God can do that? I don't believe God can do that. My disease, my illness is too much for God to heal. I think there's times when we even go and pray, you know. But we don't believe that we're going to be healed. You know. We do it because it's a thing to do, right? What if, and I'm preaching to me too, or talking to me too, what if we say, you know, I'm going to go pray for it and I'm going to get healed. So when I go sit back down, I'm not going to have a headache. Or I'm not going to have this. It's going to be gone. And I appreciate Johnny Sunday. He said, he was talking to another man in the church. He said, hey, where's so-and-so? He was sick. He's at home sick. Well, church is where he needs to be in the first place. If he's sick, right? You're sick enough, you go to the hospital. We as Christians ought to have the mindset, well, if I'm sick, I need to go call my Christian brothers and sisters to pray for me. I need to go where my healing is at. Unless I just feel good in my, you know, my sorrow. If I feel good laying here with a headache and being sick, maybe I should stay home. But if I want to get well, the place to go is to the church. But doubt and unbelief can also be a big time blocker. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? What about pride? Pride can block us from receiving what God has for us. You know, there's times that in my past that, you know, it's like they call for an altar call. Oh, I ain't going up there because people don't say, oh, Brian, he's a bad feller. You know? So pride would hold me in that seat. And I'm not going to be submissive to the Lord and just get on up and go up there and admit to the people that love me the most, right? That's funny because sometimes when I'm leading singing, well, most of the time when I'm leading singing, I think they love me. Just get in the mindset they love me and it's okay, right? But pride can keep us from doing things because, one, we don't want to embarrass ourselves. So we don't do things because we don't want to be embarrassed. But at that time is when the time we just need to break that pride and say, you know what, it's okay. And pride goes before a fall. Pride's a bad thing. But pride can be a big blocker in our lives. What about the lack of spiritual truth? Lack of biblical knowledge, maturity, or spiritual experience can block God's fullness and blessings in our lives. If we don't know it, we don't know it's there, right? Think about the defibrillator. If you got to be shocked and you don't know there's a defibrillator over there, then you're just not going to get shocked. If you need shocking and you know there's a defibrillator over there, you go slap the pads on, push the shock button. Chances are you're not going to be doing it, but somebody you know. But if we don't know what God's blessings and what God's promises are for us, then how do we know to even go towards that? So that can be a blocker to our spiritual hearing from God as well. Seeking God, seeking the truth with godly discernment is impossible if you lack knowledge of biblical truth. John 6:63 says, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So we need to know the word. Amen? I know this is a short list, but if there are things in your life that are preventing you from getting closer to the Lord, then that's a blocker. Sometimes we get too busy in our schedule. I didn't put this in there, but sometimes we get too busy in our schedule, or we think that we've gotten too busy, that we don't spend time with the Lord. Oh, I'm too tired. I'll do it in the morning when I wake up. Wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, put your clothes on, and off you go. Oh, man, I didn't really pray today. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Keep putting things off. What we've created in ourselves, in our mind, is an attitude, I'm too busy for you, God. Too busy to spend time with you. My agenda is more important than your agenda. So now we put ourselves before God and blocked that spiritual blessing. So now that we know what our blockers are, right? I think it says conclusion, right? We know that there are things that can block us. And this isn't an exhaustive list by no means. In the American Heart Association, they talk about healthy heart living, right? Eat the oatmeal. Healthy heart. Let me give you some stuff to get you healthy spiritual living. Spiritual heart living. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord your resources. Give to the Lord your time, your talents. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Be a giver, not always a taker. Pastor's been hitting us pretty good about that on Sunday mornings, about being thankful for what God has done for us and giving thanks to Him. What do we have that we can give to the Lord? Nothing else, we can give Him our praise. We can give Him our thankfulness. We can give to the Lord. Amen? Forgive others. Forget about it. Move on. Forgive. It's easy for me to stand up here and say forget about it. But it's hard to forget about things. But we have to forgive people. So you know what? A lot of times I think, you know, they just didn't know any better. I give people the benefit of the doubt a lot of times. They just didn't know any better. They wouldn't do this on purpose. I know if it's just you and I, you know, that's just not the way they are. Okay, well, it's just easy to move on past and forgive them for that. But we have to forgive people, because if we can't, we can't. Fear not, right? Be bold. Take the bull by the horns. The Lord says do it, do it. I think about the people that were sent into the arenas and died. Man, I'd be scared to death running around there with a lion chasing. I'd be scared to death. I think that's a pretty good reason to fear. You know? So when you compare that with, oh, people are going to think I'm a little bit off. People are going to think I'm a little bit strange. But what are people going to think about me? What about them people in heaven? They're going to say, you're worried about what they think about you? Let them turn loose, line loose on you. Then we'll see what, you know, how much fear you have. Have faith. God says it in His Word. Faith and believe it. Don't doubt it. sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, it's what it says, so that's what we're going to do. We just have to make up our mind and say, that's what it says. Healthy spiritual living also is getting rid of all the pride. Get rid of everything that's in me that makes me something. Realize that I'm no better than the worst of people out there. I was going to the same place that the worst people were going to. It's only because of God's love and grace that he's forgiven me. So all that pride has to go. Get rid of it. And know what promises are yours. How do you know what promises are yours? Read his word. Get into his word. Listen to his word. Listen to people preach. Pastor, great guy, you know, to listen to. I don't know if you get him on the line, but to listen to his sermons on the line. A lot of times I have to listen to his sermons a couple, three times just to get it all. Because Sunday mornings, I don't know, there's something about that second chair on the first row that just puts you to sleep. I don't know about all the other chairs, but that one chair is the worst chair of the whole building. So it's important for me sometimes to go back and listen. Okay, so what was he saying? And learn from him. Learn from his speaking. But not to just ignore the word. To get into the word. So if you want a healthy spiritual heart, you got to get rid of the things that are blocking you from receiving what you need in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Is that good, Steve? He's denying it. Yeah, I'm done.